Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
By the Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you on this Red Friday. We have so much to get into over the course of the next 4 hours of the show. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to head to Lawrence, Kansas. They play an important basketball game later today against North Carolina, and at some point today, I will compliment the Kansas Jayhawks. I am not going to tell you when it is scheduled for me to compliment the Kansas Jayhawks. I just want, if that's the kind of content that you're here for, I want you listening to the entire show because you never know when it could be. It could be the lead of the show. It could be in the final 2 minutes of the show. But I promise you today that I will compliment the Kansas Jayhawks. That will happen on today's edition of The Drive. We're going to head to Lawrence coming up in a bit. Nate Taylor is going to join us in studio. We might take a trip to Denver, Colorado coming up in a little bit. We might go to Cincinnati between now and the end of the show. Who knows where today's journey is going to take us? I am here because I'm here every day. Haven't missed a single day of the football season. I look in front of me, and that's usually where my right-hand man, my ace, my dog, Rob. But no, he's on Mass Street, probably with a beer in hand right now, probably a burger bar. Maybe he's at Jefferson's, just having a great time while I'm here at work using PTO. That's for something important, not a little basketball game. Certainly not in November. Very disappointed in Rob. Very disappointed in you if you neglected your work responsibilities to go to a little basketball game on a Friday. So I will make it. Hopefully you will make it. Let's get through the day together. Let's have a good day. Let's have some fun. But before we do any of that, I can't think of anything more fun than giving away pizza.
Pizza Tasio, Kansas City's best New York-style pizza, has taken over Kansas City. Pizza Tasio lovingly uses 100% whole milk mozzarella, all organic tomato sauce, and locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by Casey guys who love a no pizza. Pizza Tasio has locations Waldo, Belton, North Kansas City, OP, and Midtown. Pizza Tasio has a killer selection of craft and local beers and unique wines. So whether it's a slice or a whole pie, order at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
All right, I need you guys to do me three favors today. Number one, I need you to rebuke Rob for missing work today to go to Kansas, North Carolina. I also need you listening to the show every day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. I also need you to tell one friend. It'd be great if you tell two friends, but you know what? I'm not going to be greedy. This might be a first in Drive history. I got to keep you guys on your toes. I've been doing this long enough that I never want you to turn on the radio and you can expect certain things. When you guys think my take is going to be left, I try to go right. When you think I'm going to zig, I try to zag. That's what keeps you guessing. I'm not leading with the Chiefs today. We'll talk about the Chiefs in the open. That's not going to be the first sports opinion I give you. I'm going to take you on a little bit of a history lesson, a little bit of a journey before we get to the Chiefs. Now, some audio I'm going to play might upset you. It might trigger you, but it is important audio to play for the basis of this conversation. Do you guys remember this?
We'll see y'all in Burrowhead.
Yeah, baby.
Hey, give me your mind. We'll see y'all in Burrowhead.
See you in Burrowhead, huh? Okay, all right, interesting. That's, all right, that was certainly a choice. You might also remember this because there were a lot of things that the Cincinnati Bengals did to try to get under the skin of the Kansas City Chiefs, and none of it worked.
Good afternoon, Cincinnati. I have a proclamation from the desk of the mayor. Be it proclaimed, whereas the Cincinnati Bengals are headed to Burrowhead Stadium for their second consecutive AFC Championship game. Whereas at last year's game, the Bengals scored more points than the Chiefs, resulting in a Bengals victory and a Chiefs loss. Whereas Joseph Lee Burrow, who's 3-0 against Mahomes, has been asked by officials to take a paternity test to confirming whether or not he's his father. Whereas all season long, Cincinnati has been on a path of destiny, fighting it out to overcome anyone who stands between them and a Super Bowl win. And whereas Kansas City is named after its neighboring state, which is, you know, just kind of weird. Now, therefore, I, Aftab Pierval, mayor of the city of Cincinnati, do hereby proclaim January 29th, 2023, as They Gotta Play Us Day in Cincinnati. Thank you.
Before we get to the Chiefs, I would like to give you three stats. Since that piece of audio that I played for you, the Bengals are 13-15. Since that piece of audio I played for you, the Bengals are 7-7 in home games. Since that audio I played you, the Bengals have played three additional times at Arrowhead. They have lost all three of those games. Now, I was going back and forth with Chiefs fans, and who knows what team you're a fan of. A lot of people saying, oh, you can't count Cincinnati out. Every team that Cincinnati has beaten this season is 2-7. Cincinnati has not done anything in 2024 to prove to us that they are a good team. We have to quit this. Well, I mean, I'm happy they lost because I don't want to see them in the postseason. What's been so odd to me about that conversation, at least coming from Chiefs fans, is you watch the Chiefs every week and you see the makeup of what it is to be a good team. The Chiefs win close, tightly contested, one-score games. The Chiefs arguably have the best defense in the AFC. They might have the best defense in the whole damn National Football League. The Bengals don't have any of the qualities that you have. The Bengals, they love losing one-score games. They lost one yesterday. The Bengals, you have the best defense. The Bengals have the worst defense. That is not hyperbole. Every team in the AFC has allowed fewer points than the Cincinnati Bengals. They don't have a home. Their home isn't in Cincinnati, and their home's not in Burrowhead. They're 7-10 in those two places. We got to stop talking about the Cincinnati Bengals. I know I'm guilty because we are leading the show with the Cincinnati Bengals. Stop talking to me about them. When they get back over 500, we can have another conversation about the Cincinnati Bengals. But you don't need to actively be rooting against the Eastern time zone Denver Broncos. That's who they've been for the last 2 years. You don't need to spend your time actively rooting against the Eastern time zone Arizona Cardinals. That's who they've been for the last two seasons. Stop being afraid of that team. I know one time they beat Kansas City, Kansas City plays poorly, and people like me call them their rival, and they always play close games. The Bengals do what all these other teams do when they play the Chiefs. They lose. And it's not just the Bengals' problem, like they can't beat Kansas City. They're 13-15 since those comments. They haven't been able to beat anybody over the course of the last 2 years. So leave me alone with the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't want to talk about them. I do want to talk about this. There are three things that I'm looking for in this upcoming matchup. Number one, can the Chiefs kind of create some distance in these games? Now, I'm not knocking it. This is not a complaint of, well, the Chiefs aren't beating these teams by enough. No, I'm not asking the Chiefs to go out here and blow these teams out, but every game kind of has you on pins and needles at the end, whether it's the Ravens and the Isaiah Likely play, whether it's last week and the Buccaneers' decision to not kick or to kick the extra point and not go for two. It's just a little bit on edge. It would be great to go into the fourth quarter feeling good. You know, are the Chiefs up 21-10 in this matchup, or is it just going to be every single week is just stressful in the last 15 minutes of things? The second thing that I'm looking forward to is I want to see more of DeAndre Hopkins. This is now week three. They're 1 week away from playing the Buffalo Bills, and he was phenomenal last week. Now, I'm not anticipating that every game D-Hop's going to have 80 yards and two touchdowns. That doesn't seem very realistic, but it does feel like this is potentially giving a little bit of extra juice to D-Hop's career, and this offense could certainly use some extra juice and some extra pizzazz. And that's exactly what I think he provided. There's still not a lot of great options on this team when you were talking about the passing game. You got Travis Kelce, D-Hop, and right now there's no one else consistent in this offense. Justin Watson hasn't been consistent. Noah Gray hasn't been consistent. Mecole Hardman. Now, some of that is just by design and how the offense is. Sometimes it's your night. We've seen it be Mecole Hardman's night. We've seen it be Justin Watson's night. We've seen it be Noah Gray's night. But you can never count on that on a game-by-game basis. What is the sort of floor and expectation for DeAndre Hopkins? And the last thing here, and we're going to get to Lawrence, Kansas here coming up in a bit, is I think for the most part, this offense has figured out the role for almost all of its skill position pieces. I know exactly how they're going to use Mecole Hardman. You know exactly how they're going to use Travis Kelce. I think we're figuring out how they're going to use DeAndre Hopkins, but we also have a decade worth of evidence to kind of tell you what to expect from D-Hop. I don't know what to expect from Xavier Worthy right now. Xavier Worthy could have two catches for 17 yards in this game. He could have seven catches for 90 yards, and this be the turning corner of his season, kind of like what we saw last year with Rashee Rice. So I look at this offense right now. They don't have a whole lot of question marks on the field. They have question marks off the field. When's Isaiah Pacheco coming back? When does Juju Smith-Schuster come back? They have those kind of question marks. But on the field, we kind of know who everybody is. Justin Watson's been here a while. Noah Gray, those cast of characters, they've been here a while. Xavier Worthy is new, learning. He's a rookie. We talk about the rookie learning curve when in Andy Reid's offense. Well, we are now shifting into the second half of the season. Are they going to find a more consistent role for him and really utilize his very unique playmaking ability and speed to help break the game open? So those are some things that I'm looking for in this matchup. We'll obviously break it down further over the course of today's show. I'm looking forward to Sunday's game. I think it's going to be pretty close. I think it's going to be competitive. I think the Broncos are a little bit better than maybe the public thinks that they are. I think they've shown that they're pretty competitive. They can run the football. They've got a good defense. Those are usually the formula of a team that's a little bit better than people think. I think the Broncos are ultimately going to end up making the postseason as a 6 or a 7 seed. We'll talk more about that over the course of the show. But let's head to the phone lines coming up in just a bit. We're going to head to Lawrence, Kansas. They have an important basketball game today against North Carolina. We'll catch up with Michael Swain next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chiefs fans, it's Nick Bolton, MIZ. Welcome to The Drive with C-Dot on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
We'll get back to the Chiefs here coming up in just a bit. But the University of Kansas, they played North Carolina in a basketball game today, in a game that college basketball needs a lot more of. I understand that the sports landscape has changed. Football is bigger now than it was 20 years ago. There's more games on more channels, and it takes up more real estate. There's games on Thursday. The Chiefs play on a Friday this year. We had another Friday game earlier in the year. There's just more football than ever before, and you can't really compete with that if you are the other sports. But what you can do is you can create must-watch games for your hardcore fans, and that's what college basketball needs to do. You're not going to be able to beat the NFL or the college football regular season, but create more fun games for your sport. Tonight, having KU play North Carolina on campus and these two schools agreeing to a home-and-home, there are no negatives. What's the negative if you lose at Allen Fieldhouse? If you're Kansas, what's the negative if you lose to North Carolina? We're talking about teams that can win their conference, teams that can go win the national championship. College basketball needs more of this. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Michael Swain. He covers the Jayhawks for 24/7 Sports. Michael, man, happy to have you back on the show today.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Let's just start with this. How did this agreement come together? You know, usually this is the game that would happen at a neutral site. This game would be at the Barclays Center, or this game would be in Vegas, kind of like Kansas and Duke coming up in a couple of weeks. How did this agreement come together to get North Carolina to come to Allen Fieldhouse?
Yeah, well, so that's a great question. This is something that Bill Self hit on a little bit yesterday, and I think there are two parts to this. Self and KU have been all about scheduling hard games, right? Like playing UConn last year is not a game that you see very often, and maybe eventually we'll see KU go play in stores. But, you know, Bill Self has not been afraid of having these types of games, and I think his willingness to make this a home-and-home, and you got to give, you know, Hubert Davis credit, too, for being willing to do this, where now, as we get into a new age of college athletics and revenue sharing being an important thing, these schools have to find out ways to get as much revenue as possible. And so I think you will, to your point on the open, see more schools do stuff like this, because KU's going to make a good amount of money from this game, and it's going to really drive some revenue. And guess what? Next year, North Carolina is going to get the return game, and they're going to make a lot of money off of it. And a lot of these decisions now are going to come down to the bottom line. And so this was scheduled, I think, over a year ago, before a lot of this revenue sharing stuff came about. And it was more about getting two historic programs together to go play on each other's floors. And both coaches were okay with it. And it's definitely going to be, maybe surreal. I think it's a really cool thing that you can see this in college basketball, right? You see it a little bit in college football, but even then they're trending towards having those, you know, Clemson, Georgia type of games and neutral sites. The fact that you can see North Carolina and Kansas play in Lawrence and then play in Chapel Hill next year, it's a really cool thing. And so I think it's something that you're going to see a lot more of now that revenue in the bottom line is becoming so much more critical in college athletics.
Michael, do we know if Roy Williams is going to be there tonight?
No, he will not be. He said he actually gave a really interesting quote about it. He said he doesn't want to be there and clap when the other team scores. So obviously insinuating he'd be clapping if North Carolina scores while sitting in Allen Fieldhouse. So he will not be. I believe Larry Brown was expected to be there. I've not heard officially if he's in Lawrence today yet.
So, I was just curious because, I mean, just this game, it's kind of difficult to escape sort of his shadow that's over the game. It'd have been cool if he had did like a Donna Kelsey split jersey kind of thing and had the KU North Carolina thing. That's what I was hoping we were going to get today.
I would kill to see Roy Williams with a hoodie on underneath wearing a split, like a basketball jersey. That'd be incredible. But you're right. Like, and you look at these two programs, and they're so much intertwined. Like, you go Dean Smith, Larry Brown, Roy Williams. Like, there's so much history intertwined. And you look at the two coaches now, and it's Bill Self, who doesn't have anything to do with North Carolina, and Hubert Davis, who has nothing to do with Kansas. And so it's just a different era now of this matchup where maybe we do see these two teams play a little bit more frequently than we have, where really the last, 10, 12 years has really just been NCAA tournament and then maybe the off MTE type of Thanksgiving tournament. So I think this is the type of game now that the head coaches don't necessarily have skin in it with the other school, that maybe you'll see this a little bit more often where it isn't such an emotional game or such an emotionally tied game for the two head coaches with the other schools. So it is interesting. Obviously, I'm bummed that Roy Williams not be there, because I think it would have been really cool to see him there and obviously get the reception from the Allen Fieldhouse fans again.
So I was at the UConn game last year. I would have gone to the game tonight, but it was at 6, and it's hard to kind of make that, you know, with given where our show ends. What are you expecting tonight, and are there going to be any surprises? Like, I've been to a lot of Allen Fieldhouse games. That game just felt different, and it was really a who's who was there. Sue Bird was there. Jason Sudeikis there. It was a real everybody who was everybody was at the KU and UConn game last year. This is a equally as big game. What kind of special thing does KU have planned today?
Well, so first and foremost, right, this is going to be the first real true game since these renovations have been completed. You know, even walk into the press conference yesterday, that there's some new stuff that's been put in since the Howard game earlier this week on Monday. So, like, the renovations, even though they've been completed to get games in, like, this is going to be the first full thing where you're going to see the new, the new video boards, obviously, but, like, the new sound system and the lights and the atmosphere. And it's going to be the first real taste of what this new renovated Allen Fieldhouse is going to feel like. And as for special guests, I have not heard of any yet, but outside of, I think, Larry Brown being one that in terms of the North Carolina ties will be there. And in terms of celebrities, I don't know yet. I guess we'll probably have to see who will get shown on the Jumbotron when the game starts.
Right now we're talking to Michael Swain. He's with 24/7 Sports, covers the Jayhawks, getting you ready for their game coming up later today against North Carolina. All right, let's talk about the on-the-court Kansas Jayhawks. I haven't watched them yet. I wasn't watching on Monday night to watch them play Howard. I will watch every dribble today. I wasn't watching them play the Howard Bison. I'm sorry, Michael. I know you had to watch them. I didn't have to watch them on Monday. But I am excited to watch them today. How is KU different than they were last year? That team didn't have a whole lot of depth last year, but Bill Self, they went out there and loaded up in the portal. They got their NIL money together, and this is drastically a new team than last season.
Yeah, it is. And look, you mentioned being at the UConn game last year. Well, KU basically played 6 guys. You know, Johnny Furphy played, was the only bench player to play more than 10 minutes. This will be very different, and I am expecting KU to go 8-9 deep in this game. And a lot of that's just due to the recruiting that's happened. You know, I want to see what the starting lineup looks like. Maybe Zeke Mayo will start instead of David Coit this time. But you look at what was coming off the bench against Howard. It's Zeke Mayo, the Summit League Player of the Year. It was A.J. Storr, a second-team All-Big Ten player last year. It's Flory Badunga, a 5-star McDonald's All-American. Those are the guys coming off the bench. And you look back to last year, and it's like, Nick Timberlake from Towson, you know, Parker Brown from Santa Clara. Like, it's a very different feel coming off the bench for KU. And I think this team's going to have the chance to throw a lot of issues at other teams. And you look at what North Carolina brings with their guards and RJ Davis and what he does. They're going to really test what KU has. And this is going to be a really good, you know, benchmark for guys like Zeke Mayo and you know, David Coit, because those two guys have played at lower levels of college basketball. And they haven't played against the elite of the elite in terms of the skill and athleticism that guards like North Carolina's have. So it's going to be a really interesting game to see how some of those guys fare defensively, because for so long, right, Bill Self has been, he coaches up the defense and the offense can kind of be what it is at points. This year, this is a high-powered offensive team, and it's going to take some defensive coaching up from Self. And so we're really going to see where some of these newcomers are, because we know what to expect from DeJuan Harris and KJ Adams. And at this point in time, you know what Hunter Dickinson is defensively. You're not changing that. But can guys like, you know, Coit, Zeke Mayo, can A.J. Storr buy in on the defensive end? What does Rylan Griffin bring you defensively? Those are the guys that a game like tonight, we're going to learn a lot about where they're at. And that's what's really exciting about these games, you know, coming so early in the season. This isn't another bye game where, you know, walking in the stadium, you know, KU's going to win by 25 tonight. Like, this is a game where I think the spread's at like 7.5. I think this is going to be around that number, maybe a little closer. Like, I think this is going to be a really great game.
Yeah, I guess you and I are probably closer than I'm now about to paint it. I think KU wins like 82-70. This just feels like a game that's close for the first 35 minutes. KU hits a couple of big shots. The crowd kind of takes over. KU ices this with free throws, and they win. We already know how difficult it is to win in that building. I'm sitting here looking at StubHub right now. The cheapest ticket they have on StubHub right now is $291. So we're talking about Allen is going to be, I mean, this is next level kind of KU energy. There's just, there's not a college basketball team in the last 20 years I think would go into that building tonight and be competitive.
No, so, and that's a good point. So I was listening to a podcast, North Carolina podcast, with Joel Berry, who obviously played there, and he talked a lot about going into some of the big atmospheres in college basketball and how important it is to try and treat it like any other game. That's going to be really hard to do if you're North Carolina or even if you're Kansas, right? You know, that's something that some of the guys talked about yesterday, was the fact that as they're going to practice and as they're walking around Allen Fieldhouse to get to the locker room, like, they see students sitting out, and that's different for guys that were, you know, Northern Illinois or Alabama. And so it's going to feel like a big game, and I think the team that is able to deal with that the best is going to win. And I got to give UConn credit last year, because they battled, and they really did a great job of not letting that atmosphere get to them. And obviously we'll have to see how North Carolina deals with it, because you're right, this is an arena that when it gets on top of you, it's really hard to get from under it, especially when the other team is really, really talented like this year's team is.
A couple of final questions here. We're talking to Michael Swain. He covers the Kansas Jayhawks for 24/7 Sports. They got a big game coming up later today against North Carolina. Hunter Dickinson, I know he didn't play in the exhibition game against Arkansas. How is he? He healthy? He good? What's Hunter Dickinson's status for today?
Yeah, he'll be able to play. He was able to go against Howard on Monday. It still looked like he was getting his feet under him a little bit, just in terms of the practices that he missed and some of the conditioning, just running up and down the floor. So he'll be good to go. KU will be without Shaquille Moore. He's someone that transferred from Mississippi State. He's going to be a key part of this rotation. A great guard, really good defensively, downhill player. He's going to miss out with a foot injury. He had a stress fracture back in August, and he's close to being back, but he's had a couple setbacks here, and so they're kind of taking their time with him to make sure that he's good to go for the most part of the season.
Michael, give me a key for a Jayhawks win today. Tell me how North Carolina keeps this game close and puts themselves in a position to pull off the upset.
Yeah, this is the game for Carolina where they got to come out and just jack threes and hope it's one of those games, right? You've seen it before now, if you go to us, where teams come in and all of a sudden they start shooting out of their minds. Like, that's the type of game Carolina has to have. And with the way KU's going to play this year, there are going to be games they miss shots, and there's going to be games where, you know, they shoot 20% from three and they lose because they just didn't make shots. And so I think that, you know, for Carolina, they're going to have to shoot a lot of threes, make them, hope KU misses them. For KU, I think it comes down to defense, right? Can those guards I mentioned earlier, can those guys come out and slow down Cadeau, Trimble, RJ Davis, those guys? And if they're able to do that, I don't know that Carolina has the front court players to go toe-to-toe with the Hunter Dickinson or the athleticism that KJ Adams has and the questions he can pose. So I think for KU, it's going to come down to defense. Can KU slow down those Carolina guards? And if they do, they got a great shot winning this game.
Last thing here, Michael, RJ Davis, you just mentioned him, great guard for North Carolina. He is definitely on the, I can't believe that guy is still in college. Who's that player for you? Now, I know everybody makes the same Perry Ellis jokes, but there was definitely a guy that was in school and you were like, bro, I know you have to be done with your 4 years. How are you still playing college basketball?
Yeah, well, look, for me right now, I think it's DeJuan. You know, looking at what he's been able to do in his college career, it's incredible. He still has years left. Man, I'm trying to think back when I was in college. No, I can't think off the top of my head. But yeah, DeJuan is just one where you look at what he's done and what he's accomplished as a starting point guard. It's incredible that we're in, you know, in the year 2024, soon to be 2025, and DeJuan Harris is still playing college basketball.
Yeah, DeJuan. Now, DeJuan's not on that list for me yet. Next year, 100%. Next year, he's going to be 24 years old and turn 25 over the course of the season. So I'm not there with DeJuan Harris yet, but next year, absolutely.
Yeah, oh, this is DeJuan's last year. This is the last ride for him. So
okay.
This is the COVID year, so he'll be wrapping up, and we're almost done with the COVID year. So I think some of these extra long players might be. Oh, here's one, Brady Manek. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, Brady Manek playing at Oklahoma, and then all of a sudden he's at Carolina playing the title game. That was a sight to behold.
I'll give you last one here, Michael, and I'll get you out of here. You have to put Caleb Love in this conversation. He absolutely, bro. Just go to the NBA, please.
That's hilarious. And guess what? KU's going to play Caleb Love this year, right?
Yeah, of course.
In Arizona, so they're going to see him again.
That is Michael Swain joining us on the show today. KU has a game against North Carolina coming up later today. Michael, man, I would tell you good luck, but it's a KU home game. They don't need it.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. That is Michael Swain joining us on the show. I like Michael Swain. Yeah, I mean, I know they're going to win today. I mean, I wish I could come up with some, you know, counter argument, some devil's advocate argument. I don't have it, man. I know they're gonna win. You know they're gonna win. It just what are we doing here? 7.5. It doesn't matter. It could be any number. They'll win by that number. It's Kansas basketball. It's Kansas basketball in a game that matters. I am a little bit surprised at this. UKU fans are paying this to go watch them play a regular season basketball game. Quentin, I mean, these tickets are hot right now. I'm on StubHub. I'm looking at it. Number one, there's only 47 tickets left on the whole app. 47. The cheapest ticket right now, it's $291. Not for both tickets. I'm talking about each. These are for the corners. This is for section 14, row 23. Almost $300 a ticket. I don't want to go to the KU game that bad. I can't believe you guys want to go to the KU game that bad. They play a lot other games later on in the season at Allen Fieldhouse. That's just the power of playing this very unique. This game is good for everybody is excited about this. If you like basketball, if you like college basketball, if you want to see the best college basketball players, I want to see them play more of these kind of games. So I'm happy this is a home and home. North Carolina, you got to play at Allen, and then next year you guys got to go to the Dean Dome, and we need more of this in the sport.
If you want to drive interest in college basketball before March Madness starts, before those rankings come out, before we start talking about, you know, who's going to win this conference so they can be in the tournament, these are the kind of games that you need to bring up, because you're going to drive interest in it and you're going to keep it, especially if you keep these kind of games going all throughout the season, right? It's not just, hey, it's the first week, let's put a big game out there. If you sprinkle some of these in all throughout the college basketball season, people are going to watch it, even if, you know, you have to fight against some of the other sports. But I can't believe that these tickets cost as much as a football game. You know, it's like, would you rather go to a regular season college basketball game or a regular season Chiefs game? That's the question we're asking right now. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's a big, hey, man, if you got it, man, I'm not mad at you for having it. I'm telling you one thing. If I was Rob, you know where I wouldn't be right now? At the basketball game. You know what I mean? I would have paid for that honeymoon. I've seen Rob's seats. He got pretty decent seats over there at Allen Fieldhouse. I wouldn't have been taken off to go to the game. I'd have been here, and I'd have been like that Scrooge McDuck. I'd have been jumping into my pile of coins is what I'd have been. I ain't got no problem giving you. Oh, you want to go to the game? How much? Here you go. You can have them. How much you paying?
Put that bad boy on the secondary market.
Yeah, here you go. Here, you can have these tickets. You know what? I'll go next week. It's not a big deal. You know what? I'll go. I've been to enough KU games before. I could miss this one. I'll stay at home for this one. That is definitely how I would play it. All right, this is what we'll do. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to give you guys our parlay. Rob is not here, so that means we actually got a chance at cashing this bad boy. He's cost me in college football the last 3 weeks. The last 3 weeks, my bet is hit in college football, and his has lost in college football. So he's costing you guys on the two-leg parlay. I got Q subbing in today. Q tells me that he is a college football expert. That's what he tells me. He told me he knows college football, so he's going to step in. He's going to help us, and he's going to help you guys win your parlay. Let's talk a little bit of college football, and then I do want to get to back to the Chiefs here coming up in just a little bit. So we saw the first bracket come together in college football, and we got a couple of really important SEC games. This is, I would say, the biggest and maybe most important week in the SEC when you really think about it. So you have Alabama. They go on the road to LSU. In a lot of ways, that feels like a playoff elimination game. I mean, you're looking at an Alabama team that has two losses. LSU also has two losses. I do not think that LSU is making the college football playoff with three losses. Neither do I think that Alabama. So that feels like a playoff game in a lot of ways. You also have Georgia. They go on the road to play Ole Miss. Certainly a very important game for Ole Miss. They're 7-2, 3-2 in the SEC. Georgia's 7-1. They're 5-1 in SEC play. So that's a very important game as well. I also, KU fans, help me out here, because I'm missing something. You're telling me that Iowa State just last week, they were undefeated. And they lost in kind of a surprising fashion, right? Surprising. Last 30 seconds, Texas Tech goes down the field, scores. They lose in that fashion. Iowa State's only a 2.5-point favorite in a neutral site game against KU. Now, we know that this is fact. If there is any city in the country that we know Iowa State fans are driving, it's the Kansas City, Missouri. They love it here. They spent more time in Kansas City, Missouri than some of you guys do when you live in Olathe. They're always here. You know they're coming over to take over the stadium. They're 7-1, KU's 2-6, they're 4-1 in Big 12, KU's 1-4, and you're telling me I can get Iowa State for less than a field goal? Something just feels very, very off about this. KU is better. KU is improved. Jalen Daniels, I think, has shown a lot of improvement over the course of the season. I think we're overreacting to a loss last week from Iowa State. I think we're overreacting. They can still make the college football playoff. They have to win out. Now you take care of your business against K-State. You don't lose or slip up in any more of these spots. But we're talking about a team with real dreams and aspirations and a team that their fan base has already moved on to college football or college basketball. I'm surprised at the line in that game and that it's so close and that it's so tightly contested. Missouri, who knows what's going to happen with them? I think they're better than Oklahoma, but their quarterback, I don't know who's playing quarterback. Brady Cook playing quarterback this week, Drew Pine playing quarterback. If they got Drew Pine playing quarterback, they might as well have an auction and just let a random student play it. I don't know who the best student is on the intramural flag football team, but I assure you, him and Drew Pine have the same chances of moving the ball down the field on Sunday or Saturday against the Oklahoma Sooners. So I am very down on Missouri if Drew Pine is playing. If Brady Cook is playing, I think that they win. But if that other kid is playing, no thank you. All right, so coming up on the other side, let's give you a parlay. I'll give you a college bet that I like. So will Quentin. I'll give you an NFL. He'll do the same. And we'll also get back to Chiefs and Bengals. That's coming up. Keep it right here. So drive.
Welcome to your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, welcome back into the show. We'll get back to Chiefs. We'll also talk about the Bengals. They are currently out of the playoff picture. A lot of you think that they're going to get back in the playoff picture. We'll also talk about the Broncos. I actually like the Broncos. I think I'm maybe a little higher on Denver than a lot of you are this year.
Broncos dot?
No. I'm Commanders dot this year. Okay. The Commanders are the team that I have adopted, that I've picked up. Funny enough, and the Chargers are actually kind of competitive this year. The Chargers are actually not that bad, but no, this year I have fully switched over to the Commanders. I really enjoy this Commanders team. Nate Taylor is going to join us coming up in the 4 o'clock hour as well. All right. I am hopeful that we can now give you guys an opportunity to actually hit on one of these parlays. The last couple of weeks, I've done my part in these parlays. My partner has not. Now, we are a team. I want to help you guys. So I'm going to give one college leg. Quentin's going to give a college leg. He's going to give you the odds. We're also going to do the same thing in the NFL. I know that it's chalky. This is actually the most popular bet on the board this week, but there is a reason for it. Who do you trust more in a big game? Do you trust Kirby Smart Or do you trust Lane Kiffin in a big game? The answer is very obvious to me. You might have felt for this earlier in the season. Don't do it again. This is the same Georgia team that went on the road and gave Texas the hands and the feet and gave them the beats. You didn't take Georgia that week. You now have the opportunity to do so. And less than a field goal? You're telling me I can get it right now at 2.5? I think you have to jump on it. I've already taken it earlier in the week. I'm now encouraging you to do the same. Give me Georgia -2.5. I think they go on the road and take care of business in Oxford.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with what we talked about during our last segment. Iowa -2.5. Look, I think it's really simple. I think Iowa can play a kind of game that Kansas can just get worn down by. I don't think Kansas is that deep of a football team, and I think that this is an overreaction to what we saw last week. Iowa just lost a funny game last week. We've seen Kansas blow fourth quarter leads all year, so I'm going to take Iowa at the -2.5. That parlay, if you take it, is going to be +258.
All right, +258. We got Georgia. So we like the two favorites. You're taking Iowa State in a neutral site scenario against KU. I'm also going to take Georgia in a neutral site scenario. Now, I know what I just said about the Commanders, and I assure you that I am a Commanders fan. You know this.
Those haters can't stand us. Left hand up. Who are we?
I'm taking Pittsburgh on the money line this week. I don't want to do it. I just think that's the best play that's out there. A rested Steelers team with that defense going up against a rookie quarterback. The Steelers offense is noticeably better now with Russell Wilson than they were with Justin Fields. They've unlocked potential in Najee Harris that he hasn't really shown at any stage so far in his career. I think the Steelers pull off the upset, and I think they're going to beat the Commanders this week. I'm not even going to take the points in this scenario. I'm going to take the Steelers on the money line. I think they're an outright winner on the road. I've doubted Pittsburgh enough this season that I'm now trying to hedge my bets a little bit, and I'm trying to veer back onto the other path. I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers to go on the road and beat the Washington Commanders.
I'm going to take DeAndre Hopkins anytime touchdown. I think we're starting to see what this offense can really be with DeAndre Hopkins. Patrick Mahomes immediately trusted him. I mean, we saw him throw to him in the first game on a critical third down right away. I think that this is what this offense is going to turn into. +190 for that. Our two bets put together, +468. And if you want some more confidence, Bink and I do a pick the underdog segment every Sunday.
Okay.
I am 7-2 this year.
Ooh, so, look at you. Pick the doggy.
So, you know, maybe I don't know what Rob's doing this year, how he's doing.
Might have to sub you in is what you're saying.
But at least on this side of the glass today, I'm feeling pretty good.
Okay, no, I appreciate that, man. So thank you. We gave you two parlays there. We gave you Georgia and Iowa State in the college, and we also are going to take the Steelers on the road on the money line. Also going to take an anytime touchdown from DeAndre Hopkins if you want to play that. And remember, please gamble responsibly. That's a very important message to deliver out there, to please gamble responsibly. All right, Quentin, let's talk a little bit about the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, today you came in here, and I give you a lot of credit. You had a notebook, and I don't know if this was like Blue's Clues or something, but you had like a little handy-dandy notebook. It was actually kind of wild. You had takes in different colors, and some were blue and red, and like you wrote some things in crayon. You were way too prepared for today's show. You were more prepared than I was for the show, and that'll never happen. All right. So you came and you said, there's only one thing I want to talk about, Karen. So I'm like, what is it? You a KU fan? No, I'm not a KU fan. I'm like, all right, what is it? I want to talk about Xavier Worthy. Well, all right, my dear friend, the floor is yours. What do you think about Xavier Worthy heading into Sunday's matchup?
Well, I'm just interested to see, you know, what does this team need from Xavier Worthy moving forward through the rest of the year? We saw that, you know, him and Patrick Mahomes have been a little mismatched in terms of, you know, where he's supposed to be on the field. We see that that is available in terms of, man, if he could just get both feet in bounds, man, if he could just be on the right target, then there's a lot of big play potential there. And if he gets schemed open, we saw like in the early part of the season, you know, that speed is legit. He's able to catch the football.
But I'm just wondering, do we need that from Xavier Worthy anymore? With the addition of DeAndre Hopkins, is it okay to sort of put him on the back burner and maybe only give him one of those plays a game instead of trying to go out early in the game like we saw last week? He had two or three attempts right away. So what exactly do we need from Xavier Worthy to keep this offense moving forward? And to be honest, I don't think it's all that much.
Yeah, I think at least this part of the conversation, I don't know if confusing is the right word, but it's a little puzzling. Maybe that's the word I want to use. It's puzzling. Someone texted in and said, "CDOT, do you agree that Xavier Worthy is not being used as a wide receiver, but more as a gadget player? I mean, I don't know many receivers that run down the field backwards and don't know where their feet are." This is maybe the thing that I understand that wide receiver has been one of those positions where guys can just kind of pop into the league and make an instant impact. You can be Malik Nabers. You can be some of those guys. Usually not what happens at guys a little bit later in the first round or in the second round of the draft, but I definitely get it. Like, we've seen wide receivers come in, have success really early on in their career. I pulled this up on Wikipedia, and I'm going to look it up here on the NFL official site just because I want to be 100% accurate. We all watch the NFL. We all follow the National Football League. Can you guys tell me the last time that a wide receiver came into the league that at the combine was 5'11", 165 pounds, and got off to a blistering start in the NFL? There might be somebody that I'm missing, but you're telling me you're 5'11", 165 pounds, and you think you're coming into the NFL and you're being an impact wide receiver? I just think it's going to take a little bit of time with Xavier Worthy. We usually give this time kind of to other positions. We're not really giving that to Xavier Worthy. Like, I'm looking at his prospect grade. I'm on NFL.com if you guys want to follow where this is. Prospect grade. He got a 6.2. You know what it says? Will eventually become an average starter. Now, I think he can become better than an average starter or not, but I think he has a couple of things going against him. This is a completely different game. You can run around the Big 12 at 5'11", 165 pounds. You are not doing that in the NFL from day one. We're talking about this is the grown man league. You are 21 years old and undersized. You are not yet a grown man. You are an adult. You ain't a grown man. And as you've gotten older, you know that there is a drastic difference between being grown and being an adult. And if you just look at what his weaknesses are, that guy just doesn't come into the league and have instant success. He's not a 6'2", 210, long wingspan. That's not who he is as a receiver. So the kind of start that he is off to is not really that surprising to me. I also think what's hurt Xavier Worthy more than anything is, I think because of the injuries, we have sort of tried to speed up his timeline, where if he was put in the situation we thought he was going to be put into, you were going to have Travis Kelce, you were going to have Rashee Rice, you were going to have Hollywood Brown, you were going to have Isaiah Pacheco, and you were asking Xavier Worthy to be your fourth or fifth option where you could develop along a little slower than other guys, I don't think we would be having this conversation. I think we're having this conversation because of the scarcity, and now, oh, you're a first-round pick, you got to be that. No, we're talking about a 21-year-old guy that weighs a 185 in the league. It was just always going to be a little bit of a learning curve. So I'm still holding out hope. I'm still kind of waiting and seeing when it comes to Xavier Worthy, but I would like to see them be able to eventually kind of figure out what a role for him looks like. We can keep this conversation coming up on this side. I do want to get back to the Cincinnati Bengals as they lost another game yesterday on Thursday Night Football. Let's talk about, I mean, the last two games that we have seen in the NFL, two teams had a choice. One team played for overtime, the other team didn't. Let's talk about it. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.